Sunday morning, March 15th.
Somebody knows how to pray?
All right, how about I pray? Dear Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you. Father, we ask you for peace. In this crazy world, Father, we ask you to bless this day, and it's a national prayer day, but Father, we pray always, we pray always, and we ask you that you bring your prayer answer to the world always. Father, I ask you to send the Holy Spirit today and keep it in here, Father. We thank you for our church building, Father. We thank you that we can gather in here, that we have a place to be and do this. Father, we invite anyone that you want to send here. We welcome them, Father. Mm-hmm. However they look like, and Father, let us not judge whatever the past is or whatever personal feelings. Father, we ask you to just, if you want to, just send them in, Father, and let us open our hearts for everyone. Without judgment, Father. We ask you to bless this day, this gathering, Father, and I thank you for it, Father. And I just love everyone here. I just love them, Father. I thank you for that love. Mm. Father, just bless this. Just bless it. And pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was right. There is a not natural love that gets created. Beyond natural.
Yeah.
Maybe before we get into a set discussion or whatever, I was standing there getting ready this morning, and I felt like there was a, I don't know what, yeah, how do we say things now? word from the Spirit. If ever, probably that God wants to see faith, it's now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? It felt like the Spirit was saying, if you want to build faith, now's the time, you know. And it could get, you know, it could get worse or it could get better. It doesn't matter. But it's going to be, it'll test people, you know. Are you going to fight off fear and panic and have faith? Or are you going to give in, you know, and be miserable? So keep that in mind as we...
There's the line in the Bible, men's hearts failing them for fear.
Yes.
All the things to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let your faith be built.
Yep. Hey, you know a good way to do that? Listen to the Bible. I'm sorry. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
I would say the only way.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
But that's quite a revelation.
Oh, it is. It is.
You know?
It is.
And that is, we are lighthouses. Uh-huh. And that is what we need to, we are not the light. We are not the light. We are beacons of that light. And that is what the world needs to hear.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Is to listen to the word.
Mm-hmm. And it's all very well to have some kind of positive assent to the idea of it. It's another thing to know it because you know it.
Yes.
You know, say it because you know it.
Yeah.
And for as much as faith comes by hearing God's word, I don't know what the right way of putting this, but faith is also very fragile. You know these Christmas decorations that are, you can barely touch in the old days, not anymore.
Right.
And you drop them, it went all over them.
Even if they held them too hard.
Yes. It's because you can build this amazing faith by listening to God's word. But when you listen to other stuff, it happens exactly the opposite. It's just your faith weakens. It also not if you have enough faith. I mean, purposely listen to other things. If you're purposely trying to listen to unbelief, you know, it will weaken your faith. Now, if you, by chance, listen to other things, it's not going to weaken your faith. But for as strong and everything that God's Word is, you have to keep yourself focused on just God's Word. There's a scripture that says, And the Bible says the lamp of the body is the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do what it means, but what I see it is like whatever that is inside you is goes in through your eyes. And obviously, you know, through your ears or whatever, but it's a, that's how you, whatever's in front of you is what's inside you. You know what I mean? It's like, do you want to look inside you? Well, look around you. That's exactly it. So if you are focusing, see, focus, that's the light, the focus. If you focus on God's word, that's what's inside you. But I mean, we live in the world. The Bible, Paul says you can't leave the world. But if you focus on other things, then you won't have faith or belief or what or God's word in you. So that's what we need to focus on the things they put in horses. But so you try not to even see other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, that's good, Pablo.
You are what you eat.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's a scripture in Philippians verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things."
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of made me think of this verse was Smith Wigglesworth. And he raised, well, he didn't, God did, to him, raised over 20 people from the dead. And he was called the one book man, and he wouldn't let anything in his house except the Word of God. And a guy, there was a report of a fellow that came with a newspaper, and he said, "You can come in, but you got to leave that junk outside."
Mm.
And he wouldn't listen to the negative. And you know what happens? You hear the negative, and it affects you. It does something to your system. And the same thing with me. That's why, I realize if I hear things and, it's not all news reports are accurate, you know, if any. And you hear a bad report, and it affects you. It does something to your system. But if you hear the Word of God, which is positive, and A and yay and whatever, it has a different effect on you. And I have noticed that, you know, over the years. It's like, listen to the word, and it builds faith. It builds positive things in you. Having said all that, 38 years ago, yesterday morning,
oh yeah,
was a Sunday. It was on Sunday. And
the day
we were having a lot of weird things happening in this church, and in fact, I mean, there were things that were demonic things, a lot of demonic, crazy things happening, and I had to be led of the Lord. I mean, I don't know why I would have ever said it, but I stood up at the pulpit and I said, "Satan, we declare war on you."
Yeah.
I'm not thinking anything about it.
Mm.
The next night, was 38 years ago tonight. It was on a Monday night, and all hell broke loose. And that was when Vicki went into deliverance, and we prayed with her from 10 o'clock at night until 4 o'clock in the morning. And most of you heard the details of it, but you know, it was a strange, crazy thing. But the thing that, and I realize the background to this thing was that this church had been in prayer 7 days a week for maybe a year and a half. It was a long time. And it's like, I look back and I think, why? What caused people to do that? And so now we have, today is declared as a day of prayer, the 15th of of March. And so anyway, I felt that it's myself especially, that right now is the time that we kind of get back to a prayer mood.
Yeah.
And well, I don't know. I mean, we could discuss that, but it's like I feel that right now is not the time for anything except prayer. I have a scripture, another one, and it's in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. And I've known this verse for years. But anyway,
if my people,
yes,
that's the one.
And anyway, you know what? We need to digest this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how do we, you know, digest? Kind of pick it apart. We do that. We need to digest it and digest it. And anyway, this was God spoke to Solomon, and he said, "If my people, well, let me read verse 13 with him first."
Chapter what?
Second Chronicles 7.
Seven.
Now I can read it. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
So, there's several things that really stand out in this verse. And God calls them his people. See, if my people, which are called by his name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek his face. And here's the thing that jumped out at me. And turn from their wicked ways. Mm-hmm. They're his people.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And turn from their wicked ways.
Mm-hmm.
Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. And I wonder if the coronavirus is too big. You know what I mean? Is there anything God can't heal? And I think that what has happened is today is possibly going to be a major, major victory, especially in America. Because a lot of the churches, they know that they're supposed to, you know, that it's established a day of prayer, but there's only so many that can get together. And there's a lot of big churches today that are closed. And if the people are... if the people are really interested and hungry, they will be praying by themselves, which is the best thing they could be doing. Mm-hmm. See, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. And I got thinking about it. And you know, when we had, and Charlie and Jane can remember, and probably Glenn and Barb remember our prayer days. Mm-hmm. And, we didn't have a prayer format, and I thought, you know, it's like, well, what are we going to do? Well, let's pray. We'll pray, so we'll all get down on our knees in front of a pew and whatever. And that's it. We didn't pray that way. We might have prayed standing up. We might have been laying on the floor praying. We might have been anything. But you know what? We have looked at it and said, "Oh, we got in order to pray, we got to do it this way." No, that's how you pray. That's not what's praying. It's the soul inside of you that's praying. And you don't have to have some kind of a established system to do it.
Walking around works just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The night that before somebody said you need to come back, and Simon was praying with Vicki, and she's having a real major problem, and I turned and looked, and I said, well, Simon's been saved as long as I have. And he said, no, we think you better come back. Well, anyway, that night, just before it happened, Joanne and I were over here praying with Dan and Lynn Holden. I mean, they asked us if we would. We had some kind of a thing, I don't remember, you know. And, but that's what people were doing. We were praying with one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a wonderful, wonderful spirit that was on the place, and God put it there. Why we prayed, I don't know. Somebody started, and somebody else joined, and somebody else joined, and somebody, pretty soon, the night that Deliver started, I think we had about 100 people here. And we had almost 60 when we were in praying for deliverance for Vicki. And I don't know why they came. What made people do it, but you know what? God was in it. God was behind it. And what we did is we got involved in deliverance, and we, after a while, we kind of let prayer slide away, you know.
And deliverance.
Pardon?
Prayer shall slide away and deliverance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember people that were working would come at their lunchtime, drive all the way out here and come and pray for their lunch hour and go back to work.
It's kind of hard.
I was just going to say our hearts were in it.
Yes.
Go ahead.
a lot of people might not want to hear this, but seems kind of odd, doesn't it, that if you're calling yourself the people of God, you're afraid to assemble?
Yeah, that is
that's
a little funny.
If you're calling yourself the people of God, you're afraid to assemble together. You know, I mean, the enemy just won a whole bunch right there, but, you know.
But, you know, in another, see, we don't know. See, we think it's a victory for the enemy, but like Keith was saying about prayer, I mean, people are one with the church, and they can have their own commune with God, and then realize that.
Yeah, I mean, it can work both ways, yeah. But it's just. It's
yeah,
a
I know
funny.
I what you're saying. Yeah. You, people shouldn't be afraid.
Right.
Right.
I'm sure if we had 100 people here, we would still have service.
Mm.
Well, should it? I don't. It would be a. They made us not gather. I don't think we would ever not gather.
Yeah.
Would we?
Well,
we would never not gather
no.
for service. No.
Mm-hmm. I guess the way I look at it is I trust the Lord to do what He wants. And if I'm going to get the virus, it must be His will. So I don't care.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Kind of
way
I look at it.
I want to.
Then He'll do a work in that.
Yes. So it's trusting Him in whatever happens. No, I'm not going to go out and, you know, pick up a snake and whatever.
Yeah, right,
I'm
right.
not going to tempt God, but I'm going to trust Him.
Right.
I think there's a difference in testing.
Right.
Keith, are you thinking of designating a time? Or a night or whatever for having a prayer meeting here?
I think we should gradually get to 7 nights a week.
I was just going to say, I'm just waiting for him to say 7.
And that does not mean everybody needs to be here 7 nights a week.
Right.
I'm not saying that. But
somebody, one person anyway.
Yeah. If I'm beginning to feel like that at least we're on the verge of being God's people. I don't know if we read the scriptures carefully, God's blessing, Psalm 1, God's blessing is on those who mean business with His word. You know? Here it says, if my people, which are called by my name, well, you know, as we see, especially in the book of John, that God is jealous of His word. He wants us to embrace it. He wants us to use it. He wants us to teach or to take it into our system. I mean, the book of John is unreal as far as what God expects us to do in relationship to His word.
I think He has given us much these past years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is He requiring of us? I'm sorry, I'm talking so slow. But I think He's beginning to require something of us. And is it to be in prayer? I don't know. But we've been given a lot.
Amen. That's exactly what I was sharing with Cobble.
It gets hard to read it, you know, to read His word without seeing the requirements that God has placed upon us.
Mm-hmm. I've seen several people commenting, even people that I didn't expect. Not a judgment, just people you never don't know their thoughts, you know,
right.
Sometimes. But several different people throughout Facebook, people I used to know, people I have never met, but somehow they're my Facebook friend, making comments of, you know, there's seasons. I know Steve Faye said something about season, but that, you know, the world looks and we see the clouds and we know the rain's coming, you know, and it's like you look around and people wait, like, well, I'll wait till somebody comes to me and then I'll preach the gospel, or, well, everybody's kind of just getting quiet, whatever. Such a time as this, it's now. We that know the signs, we know. Now, it could be tomorrow or it could still be 30 years from now. That the point is, look up for your redemption. Every single day, you don't know when it's your thing, and it is given us a direction to, if you are filled, as God fills you, remember the old song, He will give you more to give, so more to give, more to give.
Oh.
So as He's filling your cup, now is the time. Now, maybe going through Walmart, preaching the gospel all these years wasn't the right time. But right now, people are scared. Now is the time. That doesn't mean you're going to save everybody that's around you. But now is the time to let your light shine. Now is the time to show. So many people are fearful. I'm not fearful. But many people are fearful. That doesn't make me better. It's like, okay, what can I do for you and pray and minister? Because right now, we're not going to just go back to just normal, how it always was. Something else will happen at some point anyway. So I'm not saying it's the end of the world in the next 3 weeks. But now is the time that people are a little anxious. And now is our opportunity to say, here, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And here's why. Because people are hungry, and God keeps giving us these opportunities that people get scared. Well, that's okay. There's a lot of people that have given their hearts to the Lord out here, you know, in a fearful position or dying. And God doesn't count that in the kingdom if they gave their, you know, they trusted God at the very, very end. He's not counting that up there. How long you've been saved, you know.
Yeah.
It took us a long time to come as far as we did, or to catch on, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So it had to be for a purpose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it just seemed to plateau.
Yeah.
yeah. You know, Candy said, for such a time as this, and she was quoting the book of Esther, I believe, when she said that, and there was an anointed time for Queen Esther to fulfill her mission. Ken kind of opened up today about saying, oh, I don't know if I want to say the Holy Spirit told me to say this, but, you know, and then he went on to say what he thought the Holy Spirit had told him.
But, and I missed that, so yeah. Hopefully it wasn't opposite of what I just said.
But, no, it wasn't.
Okay.
In that same vein, it was occurring to me, to pray for an unction amongst all of us, for us to be, first of all, ministers of peace to those around us, mm-hmm. by praying or whatever, and then ministers of healing or protection against coronavirus. Let me pray that right now. Lord, we ask for an unction upon us now, right now.
Yes.
That we would be your hand extended, your arm extended, Lord, that we would have an unction, that the Spirit would be upon us to extend your peace in this time of turmoil and fear, your peace, O Lord, that we would have access to the peace of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, that there would be healing in our hands with respect to this coronavirus business, that there would be healing, not necessarily our hands, but but Lord, that we would be able to minister your healing, Lord, in that you would protect all of us from that, but that we would beyond that be able to pray for those that we have contact with for both protection and for healing. Amen.
You know, that's what I was thinking all week long. The two scriptures, as they were like, don't do this and don't do that. I kept thinking, greet each other with a holy kiss.
Holy kiss, yeah.
And I was like, well, God must have forgot something because he forgot his gloves and his mask. And then, lay hands on the sick.
Yeah. That's what
I said. And I told Paul, I said, you know what? Obviously, Jesus walked through when they went through the town of infirmities. When they were done, they must have sat somewhere for 14 days and waited till they went to the next town.
Made sure they weren't dragging anything along with them.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems to me that when we were in that praying mode thing, that every man, woman, and child in this church got the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues.
What? I didn't hear her.
Mm-hmm.
What'd she say?
She said, when we were praying daily,
oh yeah,
everybody received the Holy
Spirit.
Yes. Man, woman, child.
And then we had prayer meetings and everybody was speaking in tongues and praying.
Yes.
Even if we, I know Lindsay said, it always sounds like you're outdoing each other. Thank you, Howard. People
that
couldn't, didn't know what you were saying anyway, but
it was. Mm-hmm.
Being passionate or
something.
Louder, louder.
Not me.
Not you,
Robert. I can hear you perfectly right.
My ears are not real good.
No,
I
think so.
Yeah.
You know, in thinking about this, the virus is God's plan. And the world has turned it into an opportunity for God's people. I don't know that we should do anything different today than from yesterday. We should be repenting before God every day.
Yes.
That hasn't changed.
Yes.
We should be seeking Him with all of our heart.
Yes.
Every day. That hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is everybody else around us who is not standing on the cornerstone of the Scripture, they're scared. God has created that opportunity to shed light. Now, I cringed at what Shelley said because I'm not the light. I'm not the way God is. The closest I'll go to that comment is I'll punch a ticket, get a Bible. That's all I'm doing. And to say that I'm more responsible or more enabling, I don't agree with that. So obviously God has created this, and the world has helped fund feed it because people are flipping crazy right now. They are not thinking rationally. And we're in a world of litigation. We don't let people get together now because we're worried about being sued. Not dying. I've been in great turmoil. We're worried about the 50 people who have died of this virus and ignore the 1,200 that have died of the flu. It makes no sense. It's just because people don't know. And human nature is we will run from what we don't know. Unless you have faith. And if you have faith, you run to it. And that's the difference between standing on the word and not having any foundation.
You know, I was thinking about the old folks' home. I know, they're more fragile. I agree with that. But I was telling Pablo, I said, you know, I was thinking about my grandma going up. My Aunt Carol went up there every single day. And those people in the nursing home drove her nuts. She wanted to go home. They were old. They chewed pudding without teeth. She was so, she looked forward to us and my three little girls coming through. And my Brittany was known as the little girl that brought the sunshine because these people had no visitors. And albeit, it took Brittany, my grandma's room was at the end of the hall on the right, and it took Brittany the longest because not only was she waving and shaking hands at all these people, but she was walking along with the hand railing. And she would just gross out the workers. But that was Brittany in between rooms. She was just licking the hand railing for some reason. But I told Pablo, yes, I understand. I'm not going to go into nursing homes or whatever. But I said, you know what else kills old people? Visits and their pets and little people and seeing life and being prayed for.
And a lot of the nursing homes are already shut down. They don't even let the family in.
No, they are. Right now in Wisconsin, that is for sure in Wisconsin for the next 30 days.
Right.
And they're limiting even the workers.
Right. And so it's just like,
feel bad
for them.
Right. That's the thing. It's like, I'm not going to do a great big, I'm not going to pick it and be like, let us in. But it's just, that also kills them.
It does.
It's
loneliness and all that.
Loneliness and depression and sadness and,
It's a big, big deal.
Plus, there's a lot of moms that are, like, announcing that they're going to go stir crazy with having to be with their children all these hours,
Yeah.
But
school, so.
Yeah. So I just, as a nation, and especially, I'm not really fearful of anything or many things, but I understand that a lot of people are, and it doesn't make me want to feel better than them. It makes me want to, like,
help them.
Let me pray with you. I need prayer. You need prayer. Let's pray for one another that you may be healed. And so Susan was at my house the other day for just a few minutes, and before that they were still going on their trip, and we were talking, and she says, I got a lot of fears. I fear this and I fear that, and I got a lot of fears. But she goes, I don't have any fear about this. And I'm like, okay, if Susan's not panicking,
nobody should be.
No excuse.
I'm like the poster child of no
fear.
Yeah, when it comes to the virus.
There you go. So I just, we need to be encouraged. Now is the time. We've said we want to be this, and we want to be this, and we want to be this. Now is the time. I don't know, maybe this will be our last chance, or maybe this is one of many years of chances, but especially you men here that gather and encourage each other, it's time to get on those front lines and minister, and I believe,
anybody
let that cup overflow.
Anybody that knows Don, knows he likes to visit.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a people person.
Mm-hmm.
But he's panicking over the
project.
He doesn't want to go to coffee. He doesn't want to go anywhere.
Well, there you go, Pablo. Christine loves to talk to Pablo.
Let's talk to you, Chase.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a few years back, the H1N1 was more dangerous than what we have right now today. And I think God's doing this, the panic and all that, is a preparation of what the end times is going to be like when it hits.
Yeah.
Because the swine flu killed more people than what they predict this virus is going to kill it right now. But there was no panic, no, you know, people doing foolish things, you know. So I believe this is just a prelude to what's coming in the end times.
Time to pray.
Well, I want to say this very respectfully and carefully, but 50 years ago I had a dream, and not right away, but all of a sudden I looked at this thing and I said, this has got to be at least a part of it. So instead of being fearful or anything else, I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Because anything like this opens the door for people to find God. Mm-hmm. And it gives us the opportunity that God wants us, has given to us anyway, and to help them do it. It doesn't make us anybody wonderful or great or anything else. It's God that they need to find, but it gives us an opportunity that we don't have without, you know, man's heart failing them for fear.
Yes, and I believe it's not a judgment. We can't judge when they decide to need. It's not our problem. It doesn't matter. There's some people literally on their deathbed, so it's not my judgment to say, well, they're finally coming around. No. Who am I to say that?
And then I read a verse or a sentence in Second Chronicles where God said, if I send pestilence.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's verse 13. Yeah.
If I send pestilence. And it's like while we're sitting here looking at this thing and wondering about how did it all come about, don't discount God.
Mm-hmm. I think it's in his plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said it's pestilence.
Separate the chaff from the wheat.
There's a lot of people would go to hell without something happening to cause them to turn towards God, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you have this rosy view of God's going to protect us, God's not going to let anything like that happen in this land, that is the very same thing that the false prophets in the time of Jeremiah were telling the people. Jeremiah was telling them, hey, look it. Babylonians are going to come in, you're going to be, you know. And they accused him of being the false prophet. They wanted to accept what the prophets had said. Oh, no, it's going to be fine. He'll protect us, you know.
Right.
You're just, you're manifesting unbelief, Jeremiah.
Yeah, they tortured the poor guy.
Yes. Yeah, they did.
And he brought him the truth.
Yeah. And he still stuck to it.
Paul said to the Galatians, he said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have I become your enemy? The Bible says that God chastises those that he loves, and he scourges everyone that he receives. That means he beats him.
I think about
puts him to the test.
Walking through the fire and not be burnt. You shall walk through the fire and not be burnt. You're going to walk through the fire. And guess what? You're probably going to feel it's going to get really hot. You're probably going to get a few little spots.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But he walks with you through. And what's our ultimate goal? It's heaven. Anyways. Right?
Is that what we're here for or no?
Oh, it is.
No, the message, one of the message, not the message, but something that should be brought up to an outsider is the world is not going to get better. You know what I mean? It won't get better. Mm-hmm. This flu thing is going to pass, it's going to be a worse thing. And so people need to understand through God that don't try to fix the world. It's unfixable. It's going downhill fast. So don't put your treasures on earth. It's just focus on the new world that God has. You know, this is a scripture that says exactly. It says Jesus, the earth is passing away. Just leave it. It's passing away. Yeah. Every day is passing away more.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a wrong message in the general church of like, you know, hey, you know, God is going to make things better. He's going to fix everything. There's normally no gays or whatever. Who cares? And it's like, no, it's going to be horrible. It's going to get worse. Mm-hmm. What God can do for you is he will give you peace through this until he takes you. And there's a scripture that says, I pray that you will be taken away from this disaster. Maybe taken away as in brought up to heaven, or taken away as in it's not going to affect your earthly life, you know. So the world's not going to get better. Yeah, we can pray that, you know, we don't get sick or whatever. The world is getting worse and worse every day. And I was driving the other day, and listen to the scriptures or worship one of them. And I'm like, you know what? Jesus couldn't come soon enough. Really. He just couldn't come soon enough. Hmm. You know, because this is a disaster. Mm. It's a disaster. And, you know, and you know, before I was saved, even during my first times of being saved, I was like, you know, I want Jesus to hold on a little bit. I want some life, some earthly life. I want this and that and this and that because it's fun, it's good, or whatever. So Jesus, hold on. God, Jesus, man, come ASAP.
After being married to me for all those years, don't worry.
Can't come soon enough. I get it.
Take me first. you know, and I don't know what triggered this in me when we on last Tuesday, but as we were sharing in our conversation, I don't really know what the scripture was or whatever, but it's like, okay, so we are saved, you know, and my hope or whatever, is that I'm going to be, in the last day I'm going to race, you know, I'm going with Jesus, but the truth is I'm not saved. I am being saved. Now, we've spoke about this before, but we are being saved.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but it's a, we are not, which by the fact that we are being saved, we are not in any better than anyone in the whole world, from the evilest to the holiest. We are not better. Because it's a work in progress, mm-hmm. from God in us. Okay. We are being saved. So that thought pattern or whatever will take away judgment from others, you know, and compassion, you know, and we're not no better. The only one that was different was Jesus, obviously. He was, you know, obviously different, but... And because we're being saved, just go back to all their sin and all that stuff. We're going to go forever. But anyways, you know, we are being saved. I think it's, Paul says, you know, when we were first being saved. So.
It takes away judgment from God. Mm-hmm. You know, because you believe you're fine, your sin remains.
Mm-hmm. See, exactly. So if you, I'm saved, it's like, you put your guards down.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. But we are being saved. So it's like, because of that, and I don't really know what was it that triggered it when we were speaking last Tuesday, but it gave me a bit of a fear, actually, a godly fear towards my soul, because, man, I need, there's something that I need. I need more, because I'm not saved, I'm being saved.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I remember from Tuesday night is, you sinned, but you didn't sin.
Right.
And I think that was what triggered it, because in a way, it's saying, I'm not saved, I'm being saved.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, I sinned, but I didn't sin, but I'm being repenting from sin.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know.
That's an extrapolation of my brain.
Yeah, I was just thinking, saying we're all the same, no better. There has to be a hope.
Right.
So
right.
Being saved is better than not
it
being
is,
saved.
It is. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
No,
but, you know, but I know what you mean. Yeah, as far as judgment, we're all sinners.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we're sinners being saved. They are just sinners. And so there is a difference.
Yes,
but you don't act like you're better. You just share the hope of what they can have.
I think I may be speaking more like in a flesh point of view,
yeah.
Not being better.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Right.
And in my spirit, it's different.
Yeah.
As you were thinking that, I was imagining. Maybe it's just my girl brain, but I was imagining, you know. By saying I'm saved, it allows Christians to have that ticket, their heaven ticket in their pocket. They've got the ticket. So, do you have your ticket? And it's like, you got your ticket. But I don't think we should think of ourselves as we've got a ticket. I think we should think of ourselves as we're standing in the line to
Amen.
Get the ticket.
Amen.
And we might step out of line. And guess what? We got to get back in line. But you can guarantee that all those people that are in line for the ticket, you can't turn around and go, well, you're sitting behind me. I'm going to get my ticket first. No, you're all still trying to get the ticket. So you don't get the ticket, I don't think, until you go to heaven.
That's what Paul says
and I,
well, in the scripture. He said, you know, you do all this, but your true salvation doesn't come until you've entered into the kingdom.
Right.
Right.
Thank you. Because I was just, my brain was doing this not in a biblical thing. I was imagining as I was talking, like,
well,
most people
exactly
stay in line.
Right.
So I know because I walked around like that for many years. I had
your ticket.
My ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had Keith gone and Joanne gone on a ticket, so my name got to be added onto that ticket. So it was a ticket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, no, we can't walk around like we have the ticket. We're still in line for the ticket, and we got to stay in that line.
So Jesus says, in the last days, and about the door being broad and narrow, he says, there will be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. So it's going to be people that they thought they were saved. You know, it's going to be, a lot of people are going to be, obviously, I'm going to hell. But it's going to be people that are like going to go into the narrow gate, and all of a sudden, it's not going to. They won't go in. They just won't.
There's a lot of Pharisees that are going to be really surprised.
Right? Yeah, the people are going to be so. That's surprised. I don't want to be surprised. I don't want to be surprised.
Now, can you get to the place that you have a confidence that you're going to get the ticket?
And I think while you're in line for the ticket, that's when you call other people, come. But you know what I mean? It doesn't mean you're standing in line like, I'm waiting for my ticket.
I mean, if you listen to Paul, he sounds pretty confident he's going to end up in heaven.
Right.
But
right.
At the same time, I'm the chiefest of the sinner. You know, I mean, so the more you have this word, the closer you get to God, you should gain a confidence.
Yes, you should.
I mean, otherwise, what's your hope?
Right.
You know?
Right. But with humbleness and continuing.
Yes.
Right.
We're beginning to get that as an accepted state of being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, but people need to hear that. I mean, because otherwise, you know, the question comes up, well, what's the difference then? I mean, in a sense, you know. And you know, my biggest thing is to go out and share with some of the people. I have to tell them right up front, I'm a hypocrite. Because you've seen me doing this or that or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not any better in that case than you or anybody else. But I have this, and I might want to say confidence.
Or hope.
Yeah, because I have a relationship with the God who created all this. His Spirit is in me, which I know. And the Spirit of His Son, Christ, is in me. So I'm at peace.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And I don't have to become fearful and panicky.
Right.
And, you know.
I think the difference is just saying I know God or knowing you have God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, Jesus says, you know, if you continue in my word, then you're free and all stuff. But if you stop, see, you could stop continuing.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, which I would also share. Hey, at any time, I could lose this.
Right. You know. Hey, you know what I think I was going to say last Tuesday? I don't know, I wasn't going to say it, but after the meeting, I was like, you know, Jesus, there's a difference. See, Jesus is a savior of our soul, but he comes to save us from our sins, right? Mm-hmm. But so Jesus, I think it's very important. Jesus came to save us from our sins, not to condemn us for our sins. Jesus always say he said, I condemn you not. I'm not here to condemn you. Blah, 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 blah. So on Jesus, he didn't say.
He said, I came to save. I did not come to condemn, but to save.
Right. And Jesus didn't come to keep us from sinning either, which is a big mistake that people that don't know the word think like, well, this guy's a Christian. Well, he's doing this and that.
Yeah.
I think that's just what I heard the brother say.
Right.
I'm a hypocrite.
Right.
However, now Jesus did say to the woman that was going to be stoned, it's like, where's everybody condemning you? It's like, well, nobody's really, they left after you sent the first one. We don't see him throw the first stone. No, obviously they had to leave. But,
he told her, go and sin no more.
Right. So Jesus says, I'm not here to condemn you, so go and sin no more. But Jesus, I mean, will she keep being an adulteress or whatever she was doing? I don't know. Maybe she'll stop. You know, I stopped doing things that I used to do that were not good before God. You know, but I'm still failing at different other things. So I suppose you stop doing certain things. You know what I mean? But anyway, so Jesus is becoming a Christian does not keep you from sinning, and he will save you from your sins, and he will not condemn you for your sins. Jesus now, and Paul says, hey, should I sin abundantly so I can have grace abundantly? No, he says, certainly not, exclamation mark, he says. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I said, Jesus, he came to save us from our sins because we are sinners. We don't stop sinning. That's why Jesus came here.
Conviction.
You know what I mean? To save us from ourselves.
He
didn't
come to condemn us. He came
right.
to convict
yeah.
us so that we could be forgiven.
Yeah. So, you know, so some, you're telling me all about Jesus, but you're, you know, eating somebody else's food. Mm-hmm. I am. I've got a problem.
I think it's kind of Keith has pointed out, but this word can slowly keep bringing you closer to holiness,
right.
holiness,
yes.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get to a place, because it's like it says in that one you like to quote about taking captivity of every thought,
mm-hmm.
whatever. And if you can do one thought, well, then there's a possibility you can do the next one
mm-hmm.
and the next. And
right.
so, but you need, you need God's Spirit working in you through the Word and having
right.
truth to keep doing that,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
you know.
Mm. See, most times when you're reading the Bible, and emphasis in most times when you're reading the Bible, listening the Bible, whatever, your thoughts are not as bad as it would be. We've you know what I mean?
No,
if you're listening to, I don't know, some stupid music, like, I want to back to the bass, I want to whatever, you know what I mean? You know, and the music these days are a lot more aggressive, but, so, yes, so the word, the listening to the word alone helps those situations. I mean, you couldn't possibly, like this, I mean, what is this thing? I can't keep telling me. You know, when you praise God and you worship, that there's no sadness or whatever. It's like, so you couldn't possibly sing and worship and at the same time have bad things going through your mind or wanting to do drugs or going to steal or murder.
I mean, if you're singing and praising and singing and worshiping and singing and praising, you're not also doing something else.
Exactly,
so.
Right. But if you're, you know, doing anything that's not like that, then yes, you could be, your mind could want you to steal or this and that, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know?
Your weapon is a melody.
Mm-hmm. Made the point that Jesus didn't come, he came to save us from our sins, not to keep us from sinning.
Mm-hmm.
I swear the Sermon on the Mount is designed to let anybody who thought maybe they weren't sinning clear them up on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very convicting thing. You thought you were doing pretty good. Then you read what the standard is of the Sermon on the Mount, you realize you got a long way to go.
Right. But I think there's a benefit. I believe there's a benefit in knowing that you are sinning.
Oh, there. Yes.
You know
yes.
I mean?
Mm-hmm. Sermon on the Mount does convey that idea.
Right.
Right. You don't want to be. You don't want to be blind to
right.
your sin.
Right.
So
you
really
don't want to. You don't want to come before God, and say I'm okay. I'm
yeah.
good. You know what I mean? It's like, don't you know you're. I mean, you think you're rich and you think you're all good,
mm-hmm.
whatever. Don't you know that you're naked and
right.
all super bad?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Blind and naked and.
Does it say super bad?
Yeah.
Super
put it in layman terms or whatever.
He did say.
Well, I got a question. What's the difference between hope and confidence?
Pretty close.
Hope and comfort?
No,
confidence. Confidence.
Yeah. You, a lot of people out in the world hope they get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's people that sitting here are confident they are.
Yeah, but I still call it a hope in me.
Right.
have this hope, and my hope is heaven.
But it's stronger than.
Then I hope I get there.
Yeah.
Right, it's different.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
I think there is a difference in it, you know, because I mean I sit here right now too thinking, yeah, I hope I make it to heaven too, but yet. I sit here with the confidence that I'm going to make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which or maybe I should
I
say.
I still have doubt in that. Yeah,
but
okay.
But if you keep that hope going, it'll keep that confidence
know.
Going.
I don't know exactly, but I don't think there's, in confidence, there's no grace as there is in hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think that's a good point.
What did you say?
Maybe.
In confidence, there is not that
mm-hmm.
grace.
That
grace
that
is not an element as there is in hope.
Best to be 100% confident. Like, you should be confident. But if you have a complete confidence, then where is grace?
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Like it should be composed of hope. Like otherwise, like yeah, that's the best way to say it.
And I think,
yeah.
but I think grace will give you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
I think confidence again gives you that ticket, and you can.
Right. That's the thing you're
the word
trying
that,
to not have.
The word that came to my mind when you used the word confidence was you have faith.
Yeah.
You have faith, and. In the faith, you have the hope. You know, I mean, I see those two kind of, but.
And the difference is, where is your hope? Is it in God or is it in?
See, you can have hope to get to heaven, but I was thinking you need to have hope in God.
Yeah.
And that you get to heaven.
So where
you
is
know,
your hope? Where is your confidence?
Right. Relying on Him.
Well, I like that grace thing added.
Yeah, that is
good.
Right.
Yeah, that
yeah.
that clears it up.
And
well, it's clear. It's clear because you're not going to get there on your works or your good
no.
behavior.
Well,
you're counting on God. You're counting on
You're counting on grace and mercy to cover your sins.
Right. And the thing about grace is you don't have control over it.
That's exactly
God
right.
God does.
You know, we've been going over so a lot that the settings in Romans there with Paul, you know, in 7 and 8 and everything. And but there's the thing where if you're reading the word and you're hearing the truth, and it's telling you, you have this certain, you have the spirit in you, da-da-da, you know, but you sin, but you shouldn't sin. We've said, but if we're trying to be in that place of spiritual mindedness and walking in the spirit, if you want that, then you're not giving in to this over here. So you do have a hope. And God built that in us. We didn't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's no works on our part. But if he started showing you that, you know he's in you and he's bringing you along this path, you can have faith, confidence, whatever, that you're being led by God, because otherwise you'd be falling back into all of this, and you're not. So your desire is to go forward, and your desire is to be without sin. My desire is to be without sin. I'm sure most of us are that way, you know, and so, but it's like, can I make it happen overnight? Nope. You know, so I have to rely on God to bring me through it.
In Hebrews it says, faith is confidence in what we hope for.
There you go. Say it
again, what? Okay, let me find it here again.
Faith, that explains that.
Faith is confidence in what we hope for.
All three words
yeah.
there.
Yeah. That's in Hebrew.
All right, right there was right.
Right there. See, you should always have it be confirmed by the word.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what
Barb,
I like.
Keep us on our toes.
I like to find it here.
I was actually led to ask that question. You know, that wasn't my own thinking, I don't think. I think I was actually led to ask
good.
That question.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
I think it was definitely brewing for the past hour, because everyone has been talking about having, you know, confidence and hope, and it's important to be confident in where you are with God, but also hoping that you can continue and hoping that you're on the right path, because the moment that you're, I think Corky said this a couple weeks ago or whenever I was here in November, but like the moment that you're 100% confident, God is gone.
Yeah.
As soon as you're like, I know that, I mean, besides, you know, the fundamental truths of, you know, Jesus came to save us, as soon as you go off that basic path, you lose God. Like, I think. I
yeah.
the wrong
no, I
good point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Yep. I think the word hope, at least the modern use of it, is a little different than what's in the Bible, too. When we talk about hoping for something, it conveys the idea that, oh, there's a real good chance it's not going to happen.
Yeah, kind of like wishing.
Gee, I hope that's a, you know, it is, but it, we express it in the negative, like thinking, hey, the thing we're hoping for is not going to happen, you know. That's not the biblical sense of hope.
Right.
It's positive, not negative. It's a confident expectation.
It's an encouraging.
Yeah.
I think it's just confidence with the yielding power to God.
Yes.
Probably. But, like, God can, I mean, God's right and I'm wrong. So, at least a little bit.
That's a good answer. God's right and I'm wrong. Stick to that one. It works all the time. It's never wrong.
Yeah.
And I think it's combined with listening to the word and having that become that strong foundation. Our hope is different than perhaps many people. I was going to say walking into a church, probably not doing that today, but walking into a church and you hope and you hope and you hope and you do your Hail Marys and you hope and you hope, there's a different hope, whereas this is laying a foundation that it's a sure hope. And that's, I think, where the confidence comes from, but you spend enough time, it changes our belief system, our mind becomes transformed. And when this is our belief system and that foundation, the hope is a sure hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it takes it to a level where there's, where you also know, and I think that's what is kind of dictating the conversation today, is there's a hope that
that's also attached to reality. Mm-hmm. So we're not just sitting there hoping, but we realize that there's action involved. It's that praying, and it's that staying in that place of humility and needing Him, needing daily bread for our sustenance and not getting it elsewhere. Because if we do veer away from that, we also know when you are taking this in and then you don't, or we get our sustenance elsewhere, you're smart enough to know, so to say, that if you're not taking it in, that's where you can pull yourself out of line.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, and the more you eat this, the more our belief system is stronger. The foundation is more, is laid stronger.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's good. You know, Candy was talking earlier about getting in line for the ticket. And I have been in two kinds of lines in my life. One is a line where you don't know what exactly the deal is. Maybe this is the line for the ticket you want to get into, but maybe it isn't, you know. But that's so fun, to be in a line where you don't know what's at the end of the line, you know. And then I've been in lines where, yeah, no, I know, this is the ticket to get in here, you know.
This is the line I
want. Yeah. And that first kind of line, it is an uneasy, bad feeling. But I think it's a line that a lot of folks are in, as far as heaven goes. Mm-hmm. And we can be in a line where, I know what's happening at the end of the line. I'm
confident.
I'm confident. I'm confident.
The other one is you're hoping that you're in the right lane.
Right.
Yeah, and now the other one, you're confident that you're in the right lane. But you aren't. You don't get the
one, I think,
the end confidence until you get to the front, because maybe they'll run out of
tickets. Or they'll say, you can't get in.
But with confidence, you stand in that line.
Right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And the other one, you're just hoping.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you're also having hope in the confident lines that they're going to have such a system.
That's right.
But what does hers say?
Still don't have that thing?
No, I know. I know.
Version.
But I thought I
did. Yeah, that's what I said.
And mine is the NIV.
Okay. So it's a little bit different.
Well, one thing I want to share. For a while, I had my finger at the place in the Bible, and I since taken my finger out. But I can tell you about it. In the book of Daniel, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three children that were going to be thrown in the fiery furnace because they didn't worship the God of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, they confronted the king, and they told him, "Our God is able; He's well able to save us from your fiery furnace." But if he doesn't, we're still not gonna do whatever.
We're still not gonna,
you know.
Right.
So you know, making sure that your mental thought processes are so positive they wouldn't ever allow any kind of possibility it wouldn't happen. That's not what it was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
It was our God's able. He's well able.
Yeah, he's well able.
But if he doesn't,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
They still weren't going to do it. You know.
Even if we get burned up, it doesn't mean our God's not able.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
We're walking in faith.
Right.
I was going to just add a little note. You know, one of the things that maybe we should take away from being in the Word is that we are not in the same position as the world is, and we're not panicking because we trust our God.
Right.
And what is happening is what He wants to happen, as difficult as that may be, but that happens. But we don't have to fear our God. And people who don't walk like that, they just fear because they don't have anything else to help them not fear.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right. That's right. A pitiful situation to be in.
I was sitting here and I was thinking, gee, I feel kind of bad because I have not read any scripture hardly today. So I open that up,
and
the first thing I find I'd like to read. It's in 2 Corinthians right at the beginning of the chapter. 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God.
Oh, perfect.
That's good.
Perfect.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. You know, okay, I got to share this quick then, because I looked at Pablo this morning. I get these things, and I think a lot about my mom. You know, I have flashbacks of these things that I just took for granted or just to think. But, you know, I lived with a mom who my whole life, she would be doing something and she would, you know, I think I might have shared this before, but she would go, oh, I got this. This feels like electricity. I'm like, Mom, are you having a heart attack? Because she was born with a weak heart, you know. And she would go, no, I'm like, I finished this banana bread. You know, and it was since I was little. And then she would go, whatever. And remember I've shared before that if we were out and about and somebody would say, how are you? Or my mom would say, how are you? And then the person would say, oh, I got a bad back. My mom would say, well, let me pray for that. Because she said, if they mention it, they're asking for prayer. And it used to drive me nuts and stuff. But I was telling Pablo this morning, several different things in the last couple of years, the more you're given, the more is required.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my husband is not better than anybody else. But he takes in the word and he trusts God like my mom, like with naivety, you know, whatever that word is. The Bible says, sometimes when I say something to him, he'll go, well, where can I back that up in Scripture? I'm like, well, it's just a nice thought, you know, and so he's always checking me when I'm saying things. But I told him, I said, you know, already so far, some of the things that have plagued him, and I told him several weeks ago, I said, you know what I think of you? I think of you as a dartboard. I just watched the devil go, all right, well, I'll pull that one out, and I'll throw that one. And he's like, well, you know, the Bible talks about fiery darts. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's you. And so I told him this morning, I said, you know, think of all these little things that have happened and different things, whatever. Then we find out that somebody is experiencing that same thing or whatever. I said, you're carrying burdens. And my mom used to say this to me, and this morning, all of a sudden, I thought, this was like a super often occurrence. She would be in the house and all of a sudden she would say, oh, my hip. She's like, oh, my hip. Not will somebody pray for me. She would say, somebody we know must be having a hip problem. I'm carrying a burden. I got to pray for. And then she would just start praying and worshiping and singing Linda Hamill songs because somebody, somewhere, it was not her hip problem. And so I told Pablo, all of a sudden this morning I'm having flashbacks of my mom. You know, like, oh, I can't, my arm hurts. And I'm not talking about the last few years. I'm talking
your whole life.
Oh, my arm, you know, I got the, all right, something. And it wasn't she was falling and breaking. It was just all of a sudden she would get an attack, like a dartboard, and she would say, we got somebody in our body that must have shoulder pain today. And then she would just start praying for whoever had shoulder pain. So I told Pablo, I said, yes, carry one another's burdens so that you know when you pray for them, you can say, I know. And maybe not, you're not going to have everything that everybody, but I said, it's comfort one another and carry their burdens and pray. So every little thing that you feel, I told them, start praying for somebody else because guess what? I can name 10 people that would love to change positions with Pablo's life right now. One very strong man that would trade with Pablo in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? And so it's like, pray for somebody. Mm-hmm. You got all this? Good. Get your mind off yourself and go pray for someone else.
Mm. Oh, thank you for sharing that.
That's how I feel.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah. And with that, I need to share a dream.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It was a few weeks ago. And I had two dreams in the same night, one right after the other. And first I thought they were just all nice dreams for me, but now I feel like I should share it. The first one was Joanne was just hugging me and loving me and praying for me. And I woke up just feeling so loved and this wonderful feeling, you know. And she would, I'd stand back there and she'd come and stand behind me and wrap her arms around me and bawl and cry and pray and pray and love me and love me. And so I woke up and I was like, oh. Yeah, okay, yeah, Joanne, yeah. So I fall back asleep, and I dreamed about sheep. All the, and we were down here, and this is why it's a good reason to tell it. We weren't sitting up there. We were down here, and he was walking up and down this aisle, walking up and down this aisle. He was praying and talking and encouraging, and he was walking up and down the aisle. So there, that was my dream. So,
and not falling.
No, yeah, no, no, not holding. He was totally, totally good.
And Angel has had several dreams, four at least, other ones that are a little bit, she's like, I don't know that I didn't say them yet, but several dreams since my mom has passed, and I don't know why Angel, but of us here, and there's demons on my dad, and demons around, whatever, and then Angel, in a few of them, Angel is the one that is yelling, you know Angel, she's yelling spirits out, whatever, and she just sees crowds of people, and we're at my dad's, and there's crowds of people, and so the last couple of days, she was like messaging me like, Mom, I kind of feel like my dreams are like, like we're going to, because people are desperate, and and in the situation, people just kept coming. And it's not because we have something, but to be a light of a hope in our company. You know what I mean?
And that was the lighthouse, if you know, knowing where to direct people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, it's so I told Pablo, if you have something, if you feel something, I'm going to just speak this to every one of you. If you've got a problem, you start praying for someone else.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
Because also I have told Pablo, the scripture says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and
pray for one another
that you might be healed.
Right, right.
And because he's so... whatever about keeping me in line of what exactly the scripture says. That is what it says.
He does say that.
So this morning I was saying something about carrying burdens. He's like, well, where can I get that in reference to scripture? I said, I'm doing my hair. You look it up.
I was affected by when you were telling Candy. I was affected by the thought that of having some kind of pain in my back or whatever, and then. Never go away. And not thinking much about it, but hey, it may have been your mother praying for me without, you know.
She always, and I was like, well, you know, we don't really know.
All right.
But, however, it would be funny because some weeks later, all of a sudden, we found out that someone was going in for breast surgery, and my mom would walk around and say, oh, I got this pain over here in the side of my breast. You know, I was like, oh, my God, it's close to her heart. And then we would find out that someone was facing, breast or whatever, and then your mom didn't have it. And so it was like,
as you say that, you know, about your mom, it's a little bit hard for me to like place that with scriptures, you know. But I'm not opposing it, but. No.
That's fine.
Anyways, but you know, Jesus, you know, when he was crucified, you know, he was beat up. You know what I mean? And he was put a crown of thorns. Yeah. And you know, so
and then he was crucified.
Right, and then he was crucified. You know,
yeah, he bore our sins.
Right. But, you know, at the same time, you know, he was going through his pain. He had to be praying for us. You know what I mean? I mean, Jesus prayed. That's his thing. You know, and so, yeah, you know, I'm not.
I think the very word intercession
right.
means mm-hmm. what Candy was right. talking about in connection with Joanne's right. taking on the pains of others, and we are to fill in the hedge,
right?
You know.
So I'm being honest. It's like, you know, Kenny has said that to me in the past, and I'm like, you know, I just listen, you know, or whatever.
But this morning, was the thing about my mom, and it was like all of a sudden I realized she never said, "Oh, I'm gonna have to call Charlie and have him come pray for my shoulder."
Right.
She would say, somebody's got a shoulder. Oh, I must be carrying a burden of somebody's shoulder. And it just went, okay, that's just what my mom does.
you know, and then we would hear many times later, Julie Morrow was having back pain, and nobody knew because she just found out, or, you know, and then my mom would go, see, I knew, you know, and it wasn't every time we didn't find out.
Right.
But, you know, I can think of things with Steve Bay, I can think of things with Steve Holmes, Twyla Bakken, that things that we did find out later, and my mom would say, see, I was just carrying the burden. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that in Corinthians it says there are many diversities of gifts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and you made a comment. This is what Joanne did. Yes, that's what Joanne did.
Mm-hmm.
Are we all going to be Joannes? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we need to open up because all these other gifts need to be manifested also.
Absolutely.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Right. And so. You know,
intercession.
Yeah, we need to seek God for what our gifts are for
mm-hmm.
each one.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, and you can all, in general, have certain things that will be just as effective.
Right.
You know,
that's what we are, body.
Right,
that's what we're not just an ear.
Yeah,
so the whole body functions,
and it's God doing it. You know, that's
can't
the whole
we have
point.
Different gifts at different times.
Yeah, that too. Right,
yeah.
But the Bible still says, pray.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Pray
yeah.
for one another. Encourage one another. Mm. Not if you have a gift. It's pray. It is our responsibility to help, pray, be kind to the widow, take care of those who don't have a father. You know, it's
that's what
we are to be praying.
That's not necessarily a gift.
Right.
Do this.
Right. Right.
But the gifts, we do need our working body to have all the gifts working.
Mm-hmm.
I feel.
Yeah. It says, you know, some have a gift of healing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about healing. I'm talking about pray. It's not like Jesus walked through the crowd and he prayed for people, but he didn't go back and check 3 days later to make sure everybody in the crowd that he prayed for was healed. He kept moving.
Right.
So it was just his job to pray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or to, you know,
yes.
heal people. But other, I mean, I think that
you
have to be praying. All the time, and
especially if the Lord lays it on my heart, I do, you know, or something comes to mind, I'll pray about it. But like
yep.
Ken says, we need to start receiving the gifts
mm-hmm.
that God wants for us too.
And you even, I mean, kind of, I maybe this is not a correct statement, but I like to be led in prayer. You know, and if I don't know what to pray, then I pray in tongues.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yes.
You know,
yeah.
isn't that
yeah.
nice? You know, you're not doing
you know.
It wrong.
You're right. But you know, but you, I, there's a thing you can step out in prayer. You can, you know, there's lots of aspects. I don't think you can make a blanket statement about anything that God has in the Word.
That's probably true.
You know.
True.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Speaking of which, how are you doing, Charlotte?
I'm doing a little better. Today, the headache wants to be there, but some of the other things are gone, thankfully.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, we'd gotten a prayer request yesterday that you were having some physical problems.
Yeah, a couple of days of it, and not sleeping good, which is unusual for me. You know, my headache.
Hmm.
It's
upstairs.
Boom.
Maybe we prayed, but maybe we prayed.
Yeah.
I want to quote one scripture in 1 Peter 2:2. It says, "As new now," and I'm thinking of Angel. You know, I'm gonna have a baby here. It says, "As newborn babes." That's us.
Mm-hmm.
And newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Desire the truth. Desire the truth. And then it makes it, you know, the end statement or the end sentence says, that you may grow thereby. And so what is happening by the intake of God's word is that we are growing.
Mm-hmm.
Which means we haven't grown.
Right.
We're in the process of growth.
Right.
And that's important for us to know. I mean, there'd be no reason to keep taking the word in if that was the end of the growth. You know?
Well, I'm glad you did that, Corky. I'm just glad you did it.
I wonder if we should come up with a different system.
It's kind of like Daniel. I'm going to go and do this even if this doesn't happen.
I remember when we had all the little kids go talk to everybody in the pews and get their change.
Maybe we should just put a basket up there and people can just do whatever.
We could pass the basket. We don't carry it as much anymore.
I don't remember. But I remember that. I thought that was so precious. We were teaching our little ones to give.
That was the song that I said.
Yep.
Yeah. When he'll give me what to give. And, when you give unto the Lord, he will give you more to give, some more to give, some more to give. Not he will give you more to have.
Right. Well, you got to empty it. Your glass is full. You got to empty it if you want more.
Amen, Barb.
Love you all.